Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Chris. Welcome to episode 40 of NML Crossing, where the House of Chris is still in disarray. I mentioned last episode that we're having some plumbing issues, and well, they weren't good to begin with, but they're worse now. This is not a good week. You know, I was actually going to skip today because I'm kind of bouncing around like an idiot and running around like a, you know, the cliche chicken with its head cut off. But felt like I needed a little escape from reality for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. You're just sitting here talking about comics just to kind of center and clear my mind a little bit. So this is going to be probably a short episode, but it's also going to be a very therapeutic one for me because I need the distraction today. I apologize for the brevity of these episodes. If you dig the longer stuff, yeah, we'll get back to it for sure. It's just this week is kind of ugly. So we do what we can. Now today we're going to be wrapping up not only the three-part Shadow of the Bat story, but also Alan Grant's run on the title. So bittersweet, definitely bittersweet, because it's a great story. It's a real fun story. It just thinks that we won't have any more Alan Grant after this. That's too bad. How about we hop on in? Today we're talking about Batman Shadow of the Bat number 82, which had a February 1999 cover date. The story is Waxman and the Clown, Part 3, even though Waxman is already dead. Written by Alan Grant with pencils by Mark Buckingham. Inks, Robert Campanella. Colors, Pam Rambo and Digital Chameleon. Letters, Bill Oakley. Edits, Gorfinkel and O'Neill. Cover price, $1.99. And this one, it's another one of our great Orbic covers here. It has, it pretty much gives away exactly what happens in the issue here. Jeremiah Arkham's there throwing open the gates of the asylum, and the inmates are on their way out, which we'll get to. We pick up our story not too long after we left off. We got Jeremiah in his office jotting things down into his journal. And his journal entries will be our narration throughout the issue. Nothing new there. Now, he's got the GNN news on in the background, where the anchor announces that a decision has been rendered regarding the fate of post-quake Gotham City. Though, we don't actually get to hear what that decision was just yet. Just that it was made. Now, Arkham, he's wrestling with a decision of his own at this point. Because the way he sees things, he's been left with only two choices that he can make at present. Now, he can either release Arkham's residents into the decimated streets of Gotham City, or he locks them all inside where they will starve to death within a week. Now, it's worth noting he does have like the control box for Arkham's quake shutter system, like right there on his desk. So he could, with a push of a button, make it so nobody can escape or everybody can escape. He can make it so he can, you know, he can shut the shutters and then destroy the box and make it so no one will ever get out. He's got some thinking to do. Now, this control box, by the way, is kind of adorable. It's almost silver agey. It's just like a box with a big button on it. It's like shutters, button. It's pretty funny. From here, we jump back over to where we actually left things last time. It's the cell of Solly Bean, where Batman has just found himself surrounded by his entire rogues gallery. Now, he demands they all return to their cells, but they have different ideas, which includes, you know, beating the holy hell out of him, and so that's exactly what they do. Now, after a couple of pages of that, Jerry rushes in with a shotgun. He fires up a warning shot to scatter the baddies a bit. Now, the Joker thinks that this is a pretty cute attempt at, you know, tough guy-ness from Jeremiah. And he warns Arkham that firing a shotgun in such close quarters won't do anything to stop them. To which Jerry says that, well, so long as he can make sure that the shot kills the Joker, it's, you know, really all that matters. Which does get a touche. And I gotta say, I'm really digging this take on the Joker here. He's just, he's actually kind of funny here. Anyway, Joker instructs Killer Croc to drop the Batman to the ground, and now as he does, the cowl comes off, revealing our Caped Crusader's identity to his worst enemies. And it's that dude Dave, the orderly, Remember him? Well, this was him. Now, Dave, he apologizes to Jerry Arkham for failing him and also reveals that he's not actually Batman. He was just trying to frighten the baddies back to their cells, and with that, he dies. I don't know if you recall, but a few issues ago, we did see that, like, some of the inmates were crying out that they saw Batman. There were Batman sightings that were, like, freaking the inmates out, and I guess we're safe to assume that those sightings were just Dave in a costume. Who knows? Now, the rogues are pretty disappointed that they didn't kill the real Batman, but the Joker's cool with it. After all, even a fake dead Batman is better than no dead Batman at all. He then congratulates Arkham on being the last normal man in the building. Jeremiah holds everybody off with the shotgun as he backs himself out of the cell and back to the relative safety of his office. Now, we jump ahead to 2 days later. Arkham, he's still locked away in his office. He won't dare leave. Now, he's been trying to get a hold of the GCPD HQ and Commissioner Gordon specifically about getting, I don't know, maybe a little bit of backup. But the police force is, I mean, they're already stretched way too thin to be of any use to him. Meanwhile, the baddies are trying to plan a farewell dinner for the asylum here. There really ain't much food left, but they're gonna do, what they can. Now, as preparations get underway, the Riddler cuts the phone lines, so, not that Arkham was getting anywhere with his calls anyway, but now he can't even make the calls. This takes us to Jeremiah Arkham's own personal flashback land. He thinks back to his childhood when his family moved house. You know, after they were on the road, little Jerry realized that he forgot to bring his pet kitten with them. Which, how can you possibly forget a pet? I don't know. Anyway, Jerry's hard-ass dad wouldn't turn the car around to fetch the kitty, and so our man started to imagine his cat dying of starvation. Which is pretty much what he's picturing happening to all the Arkham residents if he doesn't open those quake shutters. Meanwhile, the baddies are sharing a toast heralding the final days of Arkham Asylum. Joker's off to the side, where he's tormenting some other Arkham resident who he's tied to some pipes. Now, this fellow inmate reveals that his family were the first people that the Joker ever killed. Joker calls him Nimrod before throwing a knife directly into his face. I'm not really sure what the point of this little scene was, but, okay. Next thing we know, Joker's back in the cafeteria with all his pals. Elsewhere, another random inmate is getting ready to free Poison Ivy from her cell, and once outside, she kisses him, which kills him. Then another rando releases Mr. Zazz and is immediately killed by him. Then yet another rando releases Cornelius Stark. Any guesses what happens next? Then finally Solly Bean, and yeah, same thing. Don't know. From here, we jump to the start of Jeremiah Arkham's third day, where he's still locked up in his office. But he's come to the realization that, you know, the meds are completely gone at this point, and food is as well. He's still afraid to leave his office, but now that he's even, like, more scared that since supplies are completely exhausted, that Joker and the gang are going to force their way in. And, well, he's not that far off the mark, because at this very moment, the baddies are organizing and headed his way. Fearing the worst, Jerry delivers a message over the PA system. He's got a deal to propose, and he thinks the Arkham residents will like it. Now, he warns them if they force their way in and try to harm him, he'll destroy the shutter box, locking them all inside until, you know, they kill each other or starve to death, whichever happens first. But if they decide not to do that, if they don't force their way in, and they leave him in peace, he will open the shutters and let them all go free. He has only one string attached here. He's got one rule. And that is, once outside, he asks that they do not return to Gotham City. Anywhere but Gotham. The baddies all promise to abide by the rule, and so Jeremiah throws open the shutters. For the next 5 minutes, anyway. After 5 minutes, he's shutting them again. Now, most of the baddies hop to and skedaddle. Joker, however, decides to stick around and have himself a smoke in the library. Next thing we know, everybody's outside. And over the hill, they see the remains of Gotham City. Naturally, they're going to head right in. And Arkham knew that they would. He watches them leave through his office window with the knowledge that the United States government's already decided to cut off and abandon Gotham City. Which takes us to the GNN news report. Nick Scratch is on the air pleading for Gotham to be cut off from the rest of the country, with all bridges and tunnels in and out destroyed to boot. We close out the issue with Arkham writing in his journal some more when suddenly he begins to smell smoke. And then he hears the insane laughter of the Joker. Next time out, we're kicking off 6 episodes of Chuck Dixon with Batman number 560. Now, as I mentioned last episode, we don't get a letters page here, which is really too bad. I wish Alan Grant had the opportunity to have some final words, you know, say some goodbyes in his last issue here. I mean, he's been doing Shadow of the Bat for, what is this, 82 months? I mean, that's a lot of months in it. And what's more, he's been writing Bat stories since Crisis, if not before Crisis. He's been a prolific Bat scribe for many, many years at this point. And it's too bad that he didn't get a chance to, you know, have his final word. They didn't even, you know, put anything on the last page or a thanks or a farewell or anything like that. And I mean, that doesn't happen all the time, but I don't know. It feels like we're losing, a family member to the Bat books here. He's done the flagship. He's done Detective. They launched Shadow with him. And this is it. That's too bad. It is really too bad. I mean, even Claremont got like his initials on the last page of X-Men Volume 2, Number 3, right? I don't know. But with that in mind, I feel like this was a pretty good swan song for his run on Shadow. Now, of what little I've actually read of his run, this felt right. You know, Jeremiah Arkham started it, and here he is finishing it. He's left a victim of his own making, locked in his own sort of prison here, and he's paranoid, he's nutty, he's overcome with guilt. It's really good stuff. You know, I remember early on when we did the Wizard Batman special, and they kind of laid out what all the main Bat books were going to focus on, and Shadow of the Bat was the, you know, psychological one. And anytime I hear that a comic is psychological, I can almost guarantee that all of the psychological elements come from the first 15 pages of a Psych 101 textbook, you know, where it's very, very inch deep, mile wide, very low-hanging fruit. But in our short time with Alan Grant's work here, I feel the actual, you know, torment and trauma and all the psychological stuff that a lot of other books say they have but don't. So this is good, and I hate to go on, but I really feel like the line might suffer without him in it. I don't know if his leaving was his choice, like Doug Mensch. You know, Doug Mensch said that he thought No Man's Land was going to be a bad story, and so he decided to bow out gracefully. At least that's what he says. Of course, we know that Denny and Gorfinkel had this round-robin system set up, so chances are they were looking for some new blood anyway, but what are you going to do? I do want to briefly talk about Arkham making, you know, bargaining with the Arkham residents, right? It's not often I laugh out loud at a comic, but I actually did when he asked all the rogues to promise not to go into Gotham City, and they're all like, "Yes, sir, we promise." And it's characters like Killer Croc and Two-Face. They're acting like grade school kids promising their teacher they'll behave when, like, the substitute's in it. It's insane and it's hilarious. Just like the cheesy smiles on their faces. It's pretty funny stuff. And on the topic of the villains here, early on in the program, I would keep mentioning how when certain characters appeared for the first time that we would add them to our No Man's Land chessboard, right? It's like, oh, well, this is the first time we're seeing this person. Okay, they're on the chessboard now. Well, today we done added a bunch, didn't we? It's like we've got this fully loaded roster of Bat baddies all ready to stake their claims in the new look Gotham City. Really, really cool stuff, and actually feels organic and makes sense. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, Jeremiah Arkham's a terrible warden, even in the best of times. Here, post-Quake, it's totally understandable. I could totally buy into him just losing it and swinging the doors of the asylum open and letting his charges, you know, find their own blisses, right? It tracks. It makes sense. And it didn't feel forced. It actually made story sense. What also made sense, but was also kind of telegraphed, was the reveal of the Batman of Arkham, right? I felt that was pretty well telegraphed. At least I saw it coming, and I mean, for the most part, I usually miss even the most obvious of clues. But in this case, it was clear that it wasn't the real Batman, since we already know Bruce is, you know, he's hanging out in Washington, D.C. at this point. Poor Dave, he died for Jerry, which tracks. Again, he promised he'd be by his side until the end. We never really got to know Dave all that well, but what we do know is that he was unflinchingly loyal to his boss. The only bit of this issue that I was kind of iffy with, the ending. The ending kind of left me scratching my head. I don't know if we were supposed to read into that last page. Like, did the Joker just decide to remain in Arkham? Like, did he wait the 5 minutes and when the shutters closed again, he's still in there smoking in the library? Or did he decide to burn the place down on the way out? Because I know we're going to be seeing Joker in the opening arc of No Man's Land proper. No Law, New Order or whatever? Or New Order, No Law, whatever it's called, that one. So he's definitely not locked behind the Quake shutters. And as far as I know, Arkham didn't burn down. Or hell, maybe it did. I guess we'll find out as we work our way through. Maybe Grant decided to leave it nebulous, or maybe the sounds of the Joker's laughter were just in Arkham's head. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. Overall, this was a wonderful three-parter, and it totally served its purpose in setting the stage for what's to come. Right now we're opened up to so many potential stories, none of which will need some explanation as to how whichever baddie managed to escape Arkham or Blackgate. Because we know everyone is just out. The stories will come, and I honestly can't wait to see them and to share them here on the show. Of course, one more time, I just want to say that this is pretty bittersweet stuff, because I did go through the entire rest of the run that we're going to be covering here on the show, and unless he wrote, like, maybe a short story in Chronicles or something, this will be the final time we'll be covering a book by Alan Grant. Fingers crossed we do see him in Chronicles or maybe one of the secret files that we're going to be covering, but can't guarantee it, I guess. It also looks like we're done with Bucky, too. He's done, too. So it's definitely the end of an era, but Bucky and Grant went out on a high note here. This was a really good time. Not just compared to the Asriel story, this is just good comics, and I would definitely recommend them, though, unfortunately, due to real-life stuff, I will forever link Waxman and the Clown with a very, very, very stressful week. But I think that's all I got to say about this one, and I think that's all I got to say for today. We do have a pretty stacked mailbag, which I really can't wait to get to, but unfortunately, today ain't the day. I'm already taking too much time on today's episode than I ought to be. So we will get to those. I want to thank everybody who's written in over the past few days and beg their patience. It's a trying time, and we'll definitely get back. We'll definitely get back to it. So thank you to everybody. Of course, if anybody else would like to join the conversation, I invite you to. You can find me all those different ways. Chris is on infiniteearths.com, and also, what the hell's the email address? Oi, weirdcomics. Jesus, what's wrong with me? weirdcomicshistory@gmail.com. There's also all the social media stuff. I'm easy to find if you want to find me. But I think that's where we will end it. I'd like to thank you all so much for your patience and your time. And of course, till next time, as always, I'll talk to you again real soon. See ya. Starting over won't be easy. Broken divide is split.
today. Knowing what you know just makes it harder to think straight, star.